Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
You're right home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa! Guns it. Caught! Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! You shall not pass!
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
Hey, man.
It is good to have you listening on this Friday. We've got a big series, guys. Atlanta, Phillies are in town. They have the best record in baseball. We're going to talk to Grant McCauley and go around the yard here in about 35 minutes. But, Mike, the fact of the matter is they could leave town with a 12-game lead in front of us, and we're not even to the All-Star break. Now, that's worst-case scenario. Best-case scenario is we win all three games, and all of a sudden this is 6, not 9, because you're getting a full game, and things get really interesting, and I think you give us a fighter's chance through the rest of the season to say, hey, not only maybe we can catch them, but maybe we get hot, which we haven't gotten yet, Mike.
And that's just it. I know that we're banged up. They're banged up. But they're handling it certainly better than we are. They're able to slug. They lost Real Muto. We talked about Bryce Harper being out for this series, along with Kyle Schwarber, who's been just killing it at leadoff. And you are – look, if you look at the lineup today, bro, you know, you're kind of cobbling together, you know, dudes that, you know, let's be honest, we weren't expecting to see in a Braves uniform. So we just got to get some clutch. You got to get – like, Austin Riley has got to go on a tear. You know, Olsen's got to go on a tear. Ozzie Albies. I mean, that's where it's at. All the guys that are inked, that are locked in, these are the guys who just need to produce on a consistent basis. It's just – you're just not getting it. You left 4 guys on base yesterday. Logan Webb, we made him look like Tom Seaver. It's just, you know, it's just so exasperating. But then when you see the numbers, and you and I talked about it, I mean, Dave O'Brien, we'll talk to Grant coming up a little bit later this hour, but Dave has got these numbers that he put out there yesterday. We don't win when the guys we're facing score 4 runs or more. And I mean, it's mind-blowing when you look at the numbers. The Braves are 3-27. Since May 1st, games when they've allowed 3 or more runs, they've lost 27 straight when allowing 4 or more runs. This is a team that was scoring 8-9 runs a game last year.
Best offense in baseball, and it's completely dwindled. This goes beyond Ronald Acuna, by the way. All right. I mean, everybody was distraught, and I think you saw it in the team, in the mood of the team when that happened, because you're like, damn. But we're past that now. This is beyond just not having Ronald Acuna in the lineup. I get it and what he brings, but this is more about the guys that are still available, healthy, and not producing the way that we expected. More on the Braves coming up, guys, here on this Friday show. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up in less than 10 minutes, you'll hear our buddy Hugh Douglas from WIP up in Philly. He stopped by the show earlier today talking about both the Phillies and the sentiment about what's going on up there and how people feel and what they're thinking about this team, because they are loaded and they're good this season. And then also the Eagles, because, Mike, we play the Eagles in week 2 of the NFL season. So we come off a Steelers win. I said that. And then we play the Eagles on Monday Night Football. It's not going to be easy. They're physical. I think their roster's loaded. We'll see about the new coordinators and all that, but Hugh has some interesting things to say, so stay tuned for that. It's coming up as part of our strong arm story of the day. Mike, what is our concern level? And what I mean is, what is our concern level, as Josh Kendall for the Athletic wrote, about our position groups when we talk about the Falcons? We're just a few weeks away from training camp. And if I were to tell you that the number one concern, at least according to him, is wide receiver, the least concern is quarterback. Is that accurate for you?
Yeah, man. Quarterback has gone from being our own personal Vietnam to now having two guys that can step up. Like, I think Penix can start right now. I believe in that. And I know there's going to be lumps like there are for any other rookie, but I think he's got the chops. But we got Kirk Cousins, who's more accurate than anybody since Matt Ryan in 2016-17. So we're going to be able to get the football in a playmaker's hands. Finally get all these guys that we put such high draft picks to use on offense to finally, Carl, get in the end zone.
I agree. The level of concern, and by the way, I'm not discounting D-line. I'm not discounting the secondary, which, again, probably is the second most, if not the most, concern level simply because of the experience. If you told me we had guys that had been in the league, if everybody had had A.J. Terrell's experience, let's say they've been in the league 5 years, I wouldn't be as concerned. But that's not the case. And what you are doing, and this is just the NFL, you're counting on a bunch of young guys to step up and play well for you, and you're just hoping that in the meantime, A.J. and Jesse Bates and company pick up the slack. Maybe that happens, but what if it doesn't? And we know that teams are going to challenge us, Mike, because they're going to watch the film from last year, and you know what they're going to say? They don't get interceptions. They don't take chances. They don't jump routes. So we can move the ball on these guys. And at least things may look differently this year, at least according to A.J. Terrell. He told us that a few weeks back, guys, saying that he feels more confident about the way they're going to allow him to play Jimmy Lake and company this year, the new defensive coordinator. But we got to see that, Mike. We got to see some more turnovers.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, we talked earlier, and you'll hear the conversation in the 6 o'clock hour with Brian McFadden. We don't have a lot of cap space. We got like $3 million in change. So you'd really have to restructure some guys. Do you want to go down that road? Is it they don't have the money, or they just really like the guys they have in that cornerback room?
That's a good question. I think it's a little bit of
new
both.
New coaches,
yeah.
Right? I mean, they think they're going to get some. A.J. Terrell, and we brought this up with Brian, when we were out there at Falcons camp last month for the mandatory minicamp, he kind of had like a little gleam in his eye, and he goes, yeah, and I asked him, I said, why don't you get more interceptions? And he thinks this scheme, what they're going to try to do with this version of the Falcons defense, will finally get those kind of interception numbers he should have.
404-726-0929. Wide receiver, your most concern as far as ranking your level of concern with this team? Listen, if you say quarterback,
edge rush.
But if you say quarterback, I'm going to slap you. All right, that's the least concern. We have two high caliber guys. One has got a way to stern. The other one has been in the league forever, and this is why we went out and got a proven veteran. It is my least concern. But if you said, hey, we had a great tight end room last year. We did. That tight end room doesn't look as good this year. Okay, but I think also, Mike, the scheme is not going to call for you to have the usage of the kind of tight ends that Arthur Smith wanted to do. Is it running back? Well, I'm not concerned. My level of concern for Bijan and Tyler Algier, Mike, it's minimal. Like, I think we're good there. The offensive line, I know a lot of people don't believe this, but we have one of the best offensive lines in the league. Talk to people around the league. They will tell you guys this is a better line than you think it is. Whether or not they can protect Kirk Cousins with how we're going to attempt to throw the ball, Mike, that still needs to be seen, though. We have to see. Because last year they didn't ask this line to do as much of that with the quarterback we had.
Yeah, I think you and I were both a little mystified. Was it CBS Sports that actually had Caleb McGarry ranked higher than Jake Matthews?
That's crazy. Like, that's crazy.
But, you know, look, maybe Caleb's not as bad. I don't know. I've seen everybody on this offensive line the last 5 years have some really bad days in the office. But I thought last year they had better depth. Bergeron, we talked about, is awesome. We know that with Lindstrom, you got a guy who's arguably one of the best players on the team. And you and I will talk. Maybe, you know, when we get up to camp, before you know it, guys, it's less than 3 weeks away. How Dahlman comes along, Storm Norton in depth. They got more depth now, which is good. But you're right. You've got to be able to protect Kirk Cousins because we're going to run the football, play action. In a perfect world, the play action then opens things up. Didn't we have this conversation 2 years ago about the Falcons? But now we got a guy who can. Now we got a quarterback actually put the ball in somebody's area code when they're open.
Yeah, I mean, we did, because I do think the play calling is similar. When I say that, obviously everybody's got their own style, but basically these offenses, they're trying to do similar things. I mean, I'm talking about what Arthur Smith was hoping to do. He didn't have the quarterback to do it. And what Zach Robinson wants to do, which I think he will have the quarterback to do it. But, yeah, we did, Mike. We had the same conversation. Problem was, they couldn't execute it. because the guy couldn't throw the rock. 404-726-0929. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put Him Up. See Dukes and the radio show. It's Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game and stay up on everything that's going on. I just saw your tweet with that damn alligator. Crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah, man. I got some good America kind of stuff today. You got the folks in Alaska running cars off of cliffs to celebrate our independence. And a dude who just, I love the fact the guy reaches over. I imagine having the nuggets that tap the gator, get the beer open. He shotguns it, gives it to his buddy. He's like, woo! And I believe they're somewhere in the Everglades or somewhere down near Lake Okeechobee. But yeah, I got to be honest. I'm providing some serious content today at Mike Bell ATL.
Yeah, that's something I would never even attempt to do, or even, right. You know, like some people are just crazy, man. I mean, they are, because I would be more right. concerned about the alligator at some point being in the boat, you know, but they got away with it. It's a crazy scene.
Yeah, reaching over and like tapping the water to get the alligator to come up to your boat. Now, granted, it's not the biggest alligator, but it's still a freaking alligator.
It's an alligator.
So check it out at Mike Belly. Dale Carl can retweet it too.
Mike, you know, when they lock jaws, you're done.
Yes,
like you're not done. Getting out, right? You're like, once those jaws, you're finished. So I don't even understand why anybody would want to take a chance. But it's crazy footage. Go check it out. Right. All right. You guys can hit us up. Let us know what you think as we count down to training camp. Strong arm story of the day is coming up. Philly's in town. It's a big series. In fact, I think it's the biggest series of the season simply because you can really give yourself a chance. Max Fried on the hill, Aaron Nola. We're going to talk to Hugh Douglas about the Phillies being here, their season, but also the expectations for the Eagles. Stay there. You'll hear it next.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell, back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season-long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Game.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Big Hugh Douglas is here hanging out with your boys. He is now on in WIP middays up in Philly. And Big Hugh, man, it's always love. It's good to have you back on the show. How you doing, bro?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
What's hey, man.
What's going on, man? How y'all doing?
Hanging in there, man. I mean, you know, the Braves, they're kind of on our nerves right now. I mean, in Philly, you don't have this problem because you guys have been so getting damn good all year. But that was us last year. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, what's the vibe up there, man? Does everybody just think, hey, let's get to October so we can handle our business?
You know what? That's the vibe. And as a matter of fact, my partner Joe Giglio talked about a few weeks ago how this was over. Like, it was over. And Phillies were going to win the pennant and everything. And I'm like, hold up, bro. Pump your brakes. Mm. Still got a lot of baseball left to be played. And I know that Brian Snicker is down there. He's trying to make some moves, man. Didn't I just hear y'all just sign Eddie Rosario?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I mean, but hey, you know what? But those were the type of moves that the Braves made when they won the World Series. I was there, and I told him. I said, listen, this team won a World Series without Ronald Acuna Jr., their best player. I said, so I think it's a little bit premature, even though you got a 9-game lead, just like you said. I think it's a little bit premature to say that it's over, because even now we're dealing with injuries and everything. You know, you got Kyle Schwarber that's out, Bryce Harper's out, JT Realmuto, he's hurt. So, you know, anything can happen, man. There's a lot of baseball left to be played.
Yeah, man, I know we got to wait another 3 weeks, Hugh, till the trade deadline. It just seems like, now Rosario, they got him off waivers. Hopefully he can maybe recharge it. Duvall's back. But we need to get, like, a name. I'm just curious if we can find somebody, because we need a spark. We need to do exactly what you talked about in 21, where Jock Peterson was one of those guys, and Soler. And I just don't know if we can thread that needle, I've been saying to Carl all week, to find that guy, because Philly just looks unbeatable this season.
Yeah, they look pretty good, man. But like I said, they've been dealing with a lot of injuries. The biggest thing that when I look at the Phillies, and I think is their strong suit is their pitching, and there's no doubt. When you talk about the pitchers that they have, I know Ranger Suarez, he's been leaking a little bit of oil, but when you talk about Zach Wheeler and guys like that, you know, they've been pretty good for the Phillies. So and Christopher Sanchez, they've been pretty good. So that's what's been kind of holding them, especially when you talk about Bryce Harper and guys like that being out. That has really been a big piece why the Phillies have been doing so well.
We're talking with Hugh Douglas, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Of course, he was a part of our radio station for a long time here in the ATL, and still calls it home, man. He still calls it home, and we're always happy to talk to Hugh. I want to also get into some football stuff with you, and I will, but I just want to ask you, as far as not getting it done last year, obviously that has had no effect on this team, right? I mean, they came close, but it doesn't happen. And a lot of times with the attitude in that city, and you know, Hugh, you know, it grinds on you. But the players have come back and responded. And you just talked about the guys even being without some of their stars. It hasn't brought them down where I've seen other teams where it's affected them, where they didn't get it done the year before. And then they come back, they got the same team, hint, hint, and then they're not the same.
Yeah, and that's been the key. You know, the words that you use that they use a lot up here is called the vibe. And that's one of the reasons why they kept all the guys together. That's why when you look at this squad and you look at the pieces they potentially want to add, because for us, the outfielders, it's been kind of the hitting in the outfield has been not that great. When you talk about the guys that we have in the outfield, Brandon Marsh, Bohm, and guys like that, even though Bohm is starting to come out of it a little bit, they haven't really been hitting all that well, you know. So, no, not Bohm. I'm thinking about JT Realmuto, man, Castellanos, they haven't really been hitting that well. But they've been finding ways to win. And that's the thing. That's what people talk about when they talk about this team. The vibe up here is great. It's one of those things that when you go to the ballpark, it's always a party. And these guys always find a way to try to win. And that's been a huge factor for them this year. And I think that's because they did keep the team together.
It's a big Hugh Douglas, man, our man up in Philly. Hugh, I got so irked last year when they had that whole thing with Bryce Harper and Arcia, when he doubled them off at first base after the Money Harris catch, and all Arcia was saying, hey, way to go, Bryce. And then somebody in Philly had to go public with it. I just felt like the Phillies punked us. And Arcia should have just said, hey, blank you and let's go. It just seems like the Phillies are living rent-free, it seems like, and certainly as a Braves fan in my head, because I feel like we just got to find a way to just stop it, change it. They've owned us the last two postseasons.
You know what? It's funny. I never wanted to say that because it's a lot of pride down there in Braves country, man. But, you know, when you hear some of the things, I'm not going to lie because, you know, I'm going to keep the beam with you. When Brian Snicker was talking about how the fans up in Philly, you know, picking with the wives and everything, and it's a tough place to play. You know, I'll tell you one thing, man. Being up here in Philadelphia, being back in Philadelphia, when you say stuff like that to the Philly fans, that's a badge of confidence. That's a badge of honor. Right. And they're going to do even more of that. When you let them know that they can get under your skin and live rent-free in your head, that's exactly what they're going to do. So what you got to do this weekend, it's funny because Abe called me a few days ago, and he said, how do you feel about this series this weekend? I said, well, let's get past the Cubs first. Let's see how you feel. But, man, listen, coming down there to Atlanta – and knowing all of that and the way that they're probably talking about the Phillies in that locker room, this is going to be a very, very interesting series. And I can't wait to see how it's going to play out. You know, I don't like to make predictions, especially with a town where I lived in Atlanta, still got love for Atlanta, and I'm up here in Philadelphia. And I'm not about to, you know, cut my own drinks, but this is going to be a series, though, no question about it.
Hugh, man, let's talk about the Eagles. I want to know what people are saying. They drafted two corners, right? Quinyon Mitchell, yes. Cooper DeJean. And then, you know, the schedule, right? They start the season in Brazil, which is crazy. And then here we come on Monday Night Football in week two. So tell me what's going on with the Eagles, man, because they changed a lot on the coaching staff. Like, I'm looking at the schedule, and I want to believe, like, okay, I said to Mike, we're going to learn a lot about our Falcons in that second week of the season.
Definitely, because, like, going to Brazil, Green Bay is a pretty good football team. You know, they were in the playoffs last year. Jordan Love looked like he's made that leap that Jalen Hurts made the year before. So, man, that's going to be a tough game. But then, you know, coming back to Philadelphia, then having the A come to town, yo, all the folks that's coming from Atlanta coming up here, holler at me because, you know, I'll be in town. You know, we can probably hang out, show y'all where to go get a nice little cheesesteak or something. But, yeah, man, on Monday night, you know, that's going to be a measuring stick. And I'm not going to lie to you. You know, when you talk about Kirk Cousins coming off of that Achilles injury and Michael Penix probably not being ready, they're looking at that as a game where, you know, whatever happens in Brazil, they can, it'll be a, if they lose in Brazil, they're looking at, they can get that game against the Atlanta Falcons because they're still trying to figure out where they are.
Yeah.
But, hey, man, it's Monday Night Football. Anything can happen. You know how it goes on Monday night.
Right. Well, it's always been tough, man. Like, some of my most miserable afternoons have been up in Philadelphia watching the Falcons over the last 20 years. But, yeah, Hugh, talk about, you know, Vic Fangio using all those Georgia Bulldogs, Kellen Moore getting Saquon Barkley to play with. I mean, we were amazed, and we talked to you last year, watching Philadelphia implode. It was kind of fun last year. But, I mean, it seems like there's so much talent. They got the right coaches. Were you going to figure it out this year? Nobody blows an 11-1 lead.
You know what? You know what? I'm excited. I'm excited about what could potentially be. You know what? We still haven't figured out what happened to this team last year, man. You know, you ask guys, like, we had Jason Kelce on the show one day, and I asked him, I was like, dog, what happened? And he basically, you know, since he's working at ESPN, I put the ESPN hat on.
Yeah, yeah.
And talked about guys, you know, going into self-preservation mode and things of that nature. So I was like, we still don't know what happened. And then, you know, you have Jalen in press conferences saying cryptic things about the head coach and everything. Man, we still don't know what happened. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to hope, just like every other football fan, when the season starts, hope that they get it all together, man, and just get off to a great start. That's all you can hope for. We still don't know. We don't know how this season is going to play out for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, and, you know, people talking about the Cowboys. I still think the Eagles are going to be the team to beat. I do think the Commanders will be improved, Hugh, but I'm with you. I mean, like, the thing that's
improved, you know, wait a minute, hold up, Carl. Do you know who the head coach is?
Dan Quinn.
Yes. You know Dan Quinn? Hold up. Now, listen.
Sergeant Quinn, Slogan.
Hey, listen. And Orrin's in the studio. I think Orrin was in there. Dan Quinn got mad because we asked him about his job status. He ain't going to be able to take that heat in Washington.
We're about
he ain't
to see.
Be able to take that heat, man.
Dude, we about to see. Listen, I think the personnel is better than a lot of people believe. And I think Kellen.
No, they got a pretty good defense.
They
man.
Do. They do.
The only thing, like, the only thing I can think of, Carl, last year when they was crying about Eric Bieniemy coming in there, working them too hard. Remember that?
Yeah.
They crying about working hard. They ain't won nothing in ever. And they out there crying. Come on, man. You can't do that.
It was real. No, I get it. And then, you know, the quarterback, Jaden Daniels, man, I'm high on him. I feel like they'll be
with Kingsbury.
Yes. But to your point, like, we're about to learn. If DQ didn't learn from his experience in Atlanta, right, and he's not better this time around, it's going to be tough to get a third job, man. Like, this is it. You get this second opportunity, he's got to prove it. But point is, I still think the Eagles, across the board, man, are the better team. We're going to see, Hugh. It's always love, man, to talk to you. We'll see what happens with the Phillies and the Braves this weekend.
Paul George. And Paul George going to the Sixers, too, man. I know we got a break, but that's got to be pretty tight for those Sixers fans, Hugh.
Man, listen, it was – when you look at Paul George coming here, it was like, who was he going to get? LeBron? It was LeBron, Paul George, or Jimmy Butler. I mean, I'm okay with it, but we really have a whole lot to choose from between the three because those are the big three names that are out there. You had to trade for Jimmy Butler. So, you know, we got Paul George. The city's excited. They're definitely excited about it, but, you know, who knows with Joel Embiid because it's a whole lot of ifs and maybes when you talk about this basketball team. And the biggest if is if we can keep them healthy.
Yeah, Joel, that's the key, man, because he's an MVP if he's healthy. I'll say this, y'all got a better player than damn James Harden. I'll tell you that. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's definitely better than James Harden. He's definitely better than that.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon, man. Enjoy the weekend, Hugh, and thank you again, man.
Oh, not a problem, man. Anytime.
She belongs to the streets.
That's our boy.
One of our favorite people in the world. And we miss him. We absolutely love him, and he's fun, man. Hugh Douglas. Mike, the Eagles game, man, and you said it. I don't know if that what happened with that staff, but Sirianni, he's the blame. And then he fires everybody. Yes, and then they hire all these new coaches. Like, I think they got to win it this year. Like, you can't just do all of that and then say, all right, we win 10 games and we're out in the first or second round like they were last year.
Right. Look, we talked about this last week. If Jalen Hurts doesn't fumble, they might have won that Super Bowl because remember Kansas City was kind of dead in the water in that game. But anyway, they didn't. And then last year, when they had everybody's together, we know we always talk about the window. Well, last year was a huge step backwards for the Eagles. They got humiliated in Tampa Bay. But hey, the good news is we'll get them after a 4,700-mile flight down to Brazil. And let's hope that, those guys get wore out by the mamacitas or something.
I hope so, too. Hey, this hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We're going to talk Braves. Phillies are in town. You heard Hugh talk about the team. We'll find out the latest about tonight's matchup, this series, this weekend, and more with our buddy Grant McCauley. We'll go around the yard next.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Let's talk to Grant McCauley. This hour brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. And Grant, this is a big series. There's no beating around the bush. We understand that. We know it. I know the players know it. What's the vibe? Because you wanted to win that series against the Giants. You weren't able to do it. And, you know, I heard a soundbite. We played it earlier. I think it was from Sean Murphy. And, you know, guys just kind of sounded like last night, you know, well, we got the Phillies coming in. And I'm like, man, this is a big series. Do you feel like we're up for this thing?
Yeah, I do. And I talked to Austin Riley for a while, you know, just about not only just the series and hearing his thoughts about, you know, what's going on with a head-to-head matchup that everybody, I mean, whether you physically or mentally circle it on your calendars, everybody's looking ahead to this most certainly. But also, like, where this club is mentally at this time of year when you consider the expectations that they themselves had based on last year, and then kind of trying to be realistic and not expecting that they're just going to break all the offensive records every single season. However, they also hold themselves to a higher standard than what's been going on. And he said, look, there are a lot of guys in this clubhouse that care so much about trying to be the one who gets them out of this that is a factor in what we've been seeing, a good portion of what we've been seeing. There's been some bad luck. There's been some strikeouts. There's been some other things. But I do feel like, and I know we've talked about this on several of these calls, the pressing that's gone on has been something that this club has had to deal with and had to just, I guess, try to find a way through. And maybe they're still working on that right now. But they realize the opportunity in a series like this. Every win is an opportunity to pick up a game in the standings. Every loss, it costs them a game in the standings. And there's not as many as there used to be as well. So I think everybody knows they've got belief one to another from a lineup perspective. I know they expect more. But the pitching staff, though, has been delivering. If they can continue to do that, the Braves have a chance to do some things in the series that they very much need to do.
Aaron Nola has been worth the contract, Grant. They won 13 of his starts. And do you expect anything less than a real pitcher's duel tonight?
No, I mean, these are two guys that know each other, I think, very well, two clubs that know each other well in terms of the mound matchup. And you know, having Max Fried out there for the Braves, that's another thing Austin Riley said. It's like, you know, Max has a very short memory for when it doesn't go well, and he's a guy that really can get dialed in and be among the best in baseball. And that's what they're expecting out of him today. And I think with Aaron Nola, I mean, it's exactly what the Phillies wanted to have, was just continuity in their rotation. They didn't want to start thinking about, okay, well, if we lose Aaron Nola and say they lost him to a division rival, because the Braves were rumored to be involved in that, and believe what you want in that case, but you know, how exactly do you replace a guy like that? Someone who's come up big for him in the postseason as well. So they're happy with the money they spent. Obviously, the first of the 7 years is going pretty well for him. And the Phillies, I think offensively speaking, have been a club that's been among the best in baseball, but has its own challenges right now because Max Fried won't have to face Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber and JT Realmuto, which is a very big difference in the Phillies lineup than we're used to.
Explain the Eddie Rosario signing for a casual fan who goes, wait a minute, he was on the team and then he wasn't and now he's back? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I think that at this point, you just really have to look at any option that you have to try something different and to try to patchwork together the outfield and give yourself options. I mean, Eli White was brought up from AAA Gwinnett. He went off a couple of nights ago and had an insane night with 6 hits and a ton of RBIs, a couple of home runs as well. And, you know, he's getting an opportunity. Eddie had not played the outfield for the Nationals in a couple of weeks, so they're sending him to Gwinnett to get an opportunity to maybe just kind of knock some of the cobwebs off with that. But as far as the overall decision, I think when the Braves decided to let Eddie Rosario go, it had more to do with the $9 million option, I feel like, than really anything else. He found an opportunity to play in Washington. It kind of worked out for a little while, but ultimately, you know, the club went a different direction. this just options, honestly. And why not try something different if what you've been trying hasn't been giving you the results you need? They know Eddie Rosario really well. They're hoping that he'll come in and fit in, and that could be sooner than later. I don't expect him to just cool his heels in Gwinnett for a long period of time, because there's a definite need to try to find some kind of spark or some kind of movement any which way you can in this lineup.
It is Grant McCauley with us, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Get ready for this big series with Philly. We were talking earlier in the show, Grant, about the, I guess it was the bottom of the fourth, Austin Riley doubles with Matt Olson on second, and Matt Tuiasosopo gives him the green light. Carl and I think Carl and I are in agreement. Make the, you know, in this case, the Giants make the perfect relay throw, which unfortunately they did.
Yeah, I agree. And this is one of those things that I think you can also file under. Anytime you have an opportunity to score a run and it's right out there in front of you, do you not want to try to take that opportunity? You know, maybe Matt Olson is not the fleetest of foot, but you have to force a team to execute sometimes, and sometimes that pays off. And other times they make the play, you tip your cap, you move on and move forward. But you know, as much as I can say on the one side, you're like, oh, well, why are you running into outs? Look at what's happened when the Braves have had opportunities as well. They'll get a couple guys on, nobody out, not score a run. So why not take the chances right there in front of you? Give yourself an opportunity to force the issue with the other team. I agree with you.
Grant McCauley joining us here on Dukes and Bell. We're talking Braves, Phillies, guys. Big series this weekend. And no Harper, right? Schwarber, JT Realmuto. All these guys are big, you know, parts of what they do. But they've been able to maintain without them. Now, again, I don't know what the return timetable is. All these guys dealing with different injuries. Harper's a hammy. I think JT's got a knee. At the end of the day, though, the guys that are stepping up in their place, Grant, let's talk about that a little bit. Because, you know, when you're a really good team, and we've seen this with our Braves in years past, other guys step up when your stars go down. This year for us, that's kind of what has not happened with the absence of Acuna, right? We've expected guys to step up and really take it over, and that hasn't happened. The Phillies have had that happen.
Yeah, to an extent they have. I mean, they haven't been without Schwarber for too terribly long, or Harper for that matter. They were just placed on the injured list just under a week ago, both getting hurt, I believe, in the same game. But, you know, if you look at the past, I think it's 22 games, the Braves are 12-10, the Phillies are 12-10. So it depends on how you slice up the schedule as to what it can tell you about that. But you know, this is, I think, the first real challenge for the Phillies to go an extended period of time without Harper and without Schwarber, and then without having JT Realmuto behind the plate to kind of be the guy that's running things for that pitching staff, in addition to what he does offensively and really on the base paths as well. He's a great all-around player. He's the highest-paid catcher in baseball. I think that might sneak up on people, but he is. But they have had some other guys that clearly have stepped up, none bigger than Alec Bohm, who's the National League's RBI leader right now, has that opportunity to just continue that breakout season. And, you know, Braves fans, it's kind of been the butt of a joke for a while about Alec Bohm and the replay and not touching home and, you know, all that.
Right.
And now it's, no, Alec Bohm, there is no punchline. This is another guy that can hurt you and a guy who's driven in a bunch of runs for the Phillies. So even without some of the other hitters, to your point, they do have some guys who have stepped up and done some things. And Bohm, I think, is leading the way this year. And Trey Turner is back and swinging the bat well. He had been out for a little while. And I think that they're, you know, happy to have the depth that they do with the superstars and also some of the, just the young players and the guys that you need to step up and contribute the way that the Braves have seen it in seasons past and the way they very much need it to start trending here in Atlanta. And much like, as you mentioned, the way that the Phillies are getting it done.
I know, Grant, we brought this up a few weeks ago, and it's always a fun name to say, Nacho shortstop, Nacho ready. But he is hitting the cover off the baseball. I know we're looking for any kind of an edge or advantage. And as Arcia, we know he's dealing with an oral surgery thing, but is there any way we'll ever see Nacho anytime soon?
Yeah, I think there is, and I don't think it should be something that's ruled out either. I think with the Braves, the number one thing that you just want to make sure that you're, I guess, assessing from your internal process of bringing up a young player is, do you truly believe that he is ready and the talent can produce at the major league level? Because you don't want to bring guys up where it's like, well, we panicked, and then we threw this guy who was doing pretty well in the lower to middle levels of the minors into a situation where it didn't set him up for success. But if he continues to show the results he has in Gwinnett over the past 3 weeks, I think it becomes only a matter of time if you're trying to get the offensive upside that you want to have. Now, Arcia has been perfectly good with the glove. In fact, he's been great at times. But offensively, it's been another crater in a lineup that if everyone else was going well, I don't think we'd really even be talking about Orlando's struggles that much. Yeah, it can be frustrating, and you might notice it, and it could hurt you every once in a while. But when you're dealing with, you know, the absence of Acuna, no Michael Harris, Austin Riley, you know, goes through highs and lows. Same with Matt Olson. Marcell Ozuna's finally slowed down. Sean Murphy gets hurt. Travis d'Arnaud's not hitting the same way he did in that one homestand, you know, on down the line. Then all of a sudden, guys like Orlando Arcia and Adam Duvall are becoming, you know, kind of focal points for what's going wrong when really it's a collective thing. So I don't know if that answers the question about Alvarez, but I will go back to my statement about why you tried this with Eddie Rosario is I think you just have to explore all the options right now to try to get this thing kick-started, because in baseball, it's early until it's not, and we're knocking on the door of the All-Star break, and I think that's a time where you need to take a really critical inventory and say, all right, what's been working? What's not working? What do we need? Let's figure out trades. And do we have internal options that can also help elevate us? And maybe Nacho Alvarez is one of those guys.
All right, Grant, last thing for me. I've been asked this question. I said I'd ask you, as I tried to explain it to people, how much of what we're not doing and how this season has gone falls on the shoulders of our manager and Brian Snicker? And I've said none of it, because I think they're trying to do as much as they can, but you're just not getting the guys to perform up to the level in which we've expected. How would you answer that question for fans and Braves fans who say, all right, listen, Snit's not doing everything he needs to be doing?
I think those are people who have lost the plot of what's going on. But I will also say this, you know.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Let's talk to Grant McCauley. This hour brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. And Grant, this is a big series. There's no beating around the bush. We understand that. We know it. I know the players know it. What's the vibe? Because you wanted to win that series against the Giants. You weren't able to do it. And, you know, I heard a soundbite. We played it earlier. I think it was from Sean Murphy. And, you know, guys just kind of sounded like last night, you know, well, we got the Phillies coming in. And I'm like, man, this is a big series. Do you feel like we're up for this thing?
Yeah, I do. And I talked to Austin Riley for a while, you know, just about not only just the series and hearing his thoughts about, you know, what's going on with a head-to-head matchup that everybody, I mean, whether you physically or mentally circle it on your calendars, everybody's looking ahead to this most certainly. But also, like, where this club is mentally at this time of year when you consider the expectations that they themselves had based on last year, and then kind of trying to be realistic and not expecting that they're just going to break all the offensive records every single season. However, they also hold themselves to a higher standard than what's been going on. And he said, look, there are a lot of guys in this clubhouse that care so much about trying to be the one who gets them out of this that is a factor in what we've been seeing, a good portion of what we've been seeing. There's been some bad luck. There's been some strikeouts. There's been some other things. But I do feel like, and I know we've talked about this on several of these calls, the pressing that's gone on has been something that this club has had to deal with and had to just, I guess, try to find a way through. And maybe they're still working on that right now. But they realize the opportunity in a series like this. Every win is an opportunity to pick up a game in the standings. Every loss, it costs them a game in the standings. And there's not as many as there used to be as well. So I think everybody knows they've got belief one to another from a lineup perspective. I know they expect more. But the pitching staff, though, has been delivering. If they can continue to do that, the Braves have a chance to do some things in the series that they very much need to do.
Aaron Nola's been worth the contract, Grant. They won 13 of his starts. And do you expect anything less than a real pitcher's duel tonight?
No, I mean, these are two guys that know each other, I think, very well, two clubs that know each other well in terms of the mound matchup. And you know, having Max Fried out there for the Braves, that's another thing Austin Riley said. It's like, you know, Max has a very short memory for when it doesn't go well, and he's a guy that really can get dialed in and be among the best in baseball. And that's what they're expecting out of him today. And I think with Aaron Nola, I mean, it's exactly what the Phillies wanted to have, was just continuity in their rotation. They didn't want to start thinking about, okay, well, if we lose Aaron Nola and say they lost him to a division rival, because the Braves were rumored to be involved in that, and believe what you want in that case, but you know, how exactly do you replace a guy like that? Someone who's come up big for him in the postseason as well. So they're happy with the money they spent. Obviously, the first of the 7 years is going pretty well for him. And the Phillies, I think offensively speaking, have been a club that's been among the best in baseball, but has its own challenges right now, because Max Fried won't have to face Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber and JT Realmuto, which is a very big difference in the Phillies lineup than we're used to.
explain the Eddie Rosario signing for a casual fan who goes, wait a minute, he was on the team and then he wasn't and now he's back? Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I think that at this point, you just really have to look at any option that you have to try something different and to try to patchwork together the outfield and give yourself options. I mean, Eli White was brought up from AAA Gwinnett. He went off a couple of nights ago and had an insane night with six hits and a ton of RBIs, a couple of home runs as well. And, you know, he's getting an opportunity. Eddie had not played the outfield for the Nationals in a couple of weeks, so they're sending him to Gwinnett to get an opportunity to maybe just kind of knock some of the cobwebs off with that. But as far as the overall decision, I think when the Braves decided to let Eddie Rosario go, it had more to do with the $9 million option, I feel like, than really anything else. He found an opportunity to play in Washington. It kind of worked out for a little while, but ultimately, you know, the club went a different direction. This just options, honestly. And why not try something different if what you've been trying hasn't been giving you the results you need? They know Eddie Rosario really well. They're hoping that he'll come in and fit in, and that could be sooner than later. I don't expect him to just cool his heels in Gwinnett for a long period of time because there's a definite need to try to find some kind of spark or some kind of movement any which way you can in this lineup.
It is Grant McCauley with us, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Get ready for this big series with Philly. We were talking earlier in the show, Grant, about the, I guess it was the bottom of the fourth, Austin Riley doubles with Matt Olson on second, and Matt Tuiasosopo gives him the green light. Carl and I are in agreement. Make the, you know, in this case, the Giants make the perfect relay throw, which unfortunately they did.
Yeah, I agree. And this is one of those things that I think you can also file under. Anytime you have an opportunity to score a run and it's right out there in front of you, do you not want to try to take that opportunity? You know, maybe Matt Olson is not the fleetest of foot, but you have to force a team to execute sometimes, and sometimes that pays off. And other times they make the play, you tip your cap, you move on and move forward. But you know, as much as I can say on the one side, you're like, oh, well, why are you running into outs? Look at what's happened when the Braves have had opportunities as well. They'll get a couple guys on, nobody out, not score a run. So why not take the chances right there in front of you? Give yourself an opportunity to force the issue with the other team. I agree with you.
Grant McCauley joining us here on Dukes and Bell. We're talking Braves, Phillies, guys. Big series this weekend. And no Harper, right? Schwarber, JT Realmuto. All these guys are big, you know, parts of what they do. But they've been able to maintain without them. Now, again, I don't know what the return timetable is. All these guys dealing with different injuries. Harper's a hammy. I think JT's got a knee. At the end of the day, though, the guys that are stepping up in their place, Grant, let's talk about that a little bit. Because, you know, when you're a really good team, and we've seen this with our Braves in years past, other guys step up when your stars go down. This year for us, that's kind of what has not happened with the absence of Acuna, right? We've expected guys to step up and really take it over, and that hasn't happened. The Phillies have had that happen.
Yeah, to an extent they have. I mean, they haven't been without Schwarber for too terribly long, or Harper for that matter. They were just placed on the injured list just under a week ago, both getting hurt, I believe, in the same game. But, you know, if you look at the past, I think it's 22 games, the Braves are 12-10, the Phillies are 12-10. So it depends on how you slice up the schedule as to what it can tell you about that. But, you know, this is, I think, the first real challenge for the Phillies to go an extended period of time without Harper and without Schwarber, and then without having JT Realmuto behind the plate to kind of be the guy that's running things for that pitching staff, in addition to what he does offensively and really on the base paths as well. He's a great all-around player. He's the highest-paid catcher in baseball. I think that might sneak up on people, but he is. But they have had some other guys that clearly have stepped up, none bigger than Alec Boehm, who's the National League's RBI leader right now, has that opportunity to just continue that breakout season. And, you know, Braves fans, it's kind of been the butt of a joke for a while about Alec Boehm and the replay and not touching home and, you know, all that.
Right.
And now it's, no, Alec Boehm, there is no punchline. This is another guy that can hurt you and a guy who's driven in a bunch of runs for the Phillies. So even without some of the other hitters, to your point, they do have some guys who have stepped up and done some things. And Boehm, I think, is leading the way this year. And Trey Turner is back and swinging the bat well. He had been out for a little while. And I think that they're, you know, happy to have the depth that they do with the superstars and also some of the, just the young players and the guys that you need to step up and contribute the way that the Braves have seen it in seasons past and the way they very much need it to start trending here in Atlanta. And much like, as you mentioned, the way that the Phillies are getting it done.
I know, Grant, we brought this up a few weeks ago, and it's always a fun name to say, Nacho shortstop, Nacho ready. But he is hitting the cover off the baseball. I know we're looking for any kind of an edge or advantage. And as Arcia, we know he's dealing with an oral surgery thing, but is there any way we'll ever see Nacho anytime soon?
Yeah, I think there is, and I don't think it should be something that's ruled out either. I think with the Braves, the number one thing that you just want to make sure that you're, I guess, assessing from your internal process of bringing up a young player is, do you truly believe that he is ready and the talent can produce at the major league level? Because you don't want to bring guys up where it's like, well, we panicked, and then we threw this guy who was doing pretty well in the lower to middle levels of the minors into a situation where it didn't set him up for success. But if he continues to show the results he has in Gwinnett over the past 3 weeks, I think it becomes only a matter of time if you're trying to get the offensive upside that you want to have. Now, Arcia has been perfectly good with the glove. In fact, he's been great at times. But offensively, it's been another crater in a lineup that if everyone else was going well, I don't think we'd really even be talking about Orlando's struggles that much. Yeah, it can be frustrating, and you might notice it, and it could hurt you every once in a while. But when you're dealing with, you know, the absence of Acuna, no Michael Harris, Austin Riley, you know, goes through highs and lows. Same with Matt Olson. Marcelo Zuna's finally slowed down. Sean Murphy gets hurt. Travis d'Arnaud's not hitting the same way he did in that one homestand, you know, on down the line. Then all of a sudden, guys like Orlando Arcia and Adam Duvall are becoming, you know, kind of focal points for what's going wrong when really it's a collective thing. So I don't know if that answers the question about Alvarez, but I will go back to my statement about why you tried this with Eddie Rosario is I think you just have to explore all the options right now to try to get this thing kick-started, because in baseball, it's early until it's not, and we're knocking on the door of the All-Star break, and I think that's a time where you need to take a really critical inventory and say, all right, what's been working, what's not working, what do we need, let's figure out trades, and do we have internal options that can also help elevate us, and maybe Nacho Alvarez is one of those guys.
All right, Grant, last thing for me. I've been asked this question. I said I'd ask you, as I tried to explain it to people, how much of what we're not doing and how this season has gone falls on the shoulders of our manager and Brian Snicker? And I've said none of it, because I think they're trying to do as much as they can, but you're just not getting the guys to perform up to the level in which we've expected. How would you answer that question for fans and Braves fans who say, all right, listen, Snit's not doing everything he needs to be doing?
I think those are people who have lost the plot of what's going on. But I will also say this, you know, being a fan is, you know, having the emotional connection to a team that you're, you know, you're in the highs and you're down in the lows. And the Braves have had well more lows this year, I think, than we're used to, despite the fact that we're talking about a team that, thanks to a good start, has pretty much been a 500 club the last couple of months and is still 10 games over 500 and in a playoff spot. But it hasn't felt like the club that they've had the last couple of years at times. And I think that, as much as anything, is what people are kind of trying to grasp. But I don't think there's anything that Brian Snitker is doing or not doing that is causing the Braves to not be able to offensively produce. This ultimately, it always, in every single sport, comes down to the talent on the field executing. It's no different in baseball. I think guys know this. I talked to Austin Riley before the game. These guys are hyper aware of it, but there's a belief one man to another that they can figure this thing out and that they can work their way through it. But some years, it's more of a grind than others, and I think we're getting a front row seat of how much different it can be one year to the next with what they saw in 2023 and what we're seeing in 2024. It doesn't come easy, but and to kind of throw it all into the one big thing that we can always talk about is it doesn't matter really how you get there. Just get into the postseason, because crazier things have happened than a club getting hot for 3 weeks.
Yeah. All right, Grant, we know we got to cut you loose, man. Hey, real quick, I know that All-Star break's coming up. Because there's so many teams alive, does free agent, do we see some action trade-wise a little earlier, or you still think it comes down to the wire and the deadline?
No, I really think it's a wire, it coming down to the wire thing, because clubs, I don't know they're going to be as inclined to do as much wheeling and dealing. Last year, it kind of felt that way. This year, I kind of expect it to be cold and then maybe a frenzy right before the deadline.
Great, great stuff, Grant. As always, man, enjoy the weekend. When are you on again this weekend?
Yep, 5 to 7 on Sundays for From the Diamond. I got a lot of great conversations with some of the Braves to share with you, and we'll take our trip around the big leagues as well. 5 to 7 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and wherever you get your podcast, just search for From the Diamond.
All right, sounds good. Grant McCauley, thank you so much. Guys, coming up, more conversation about the Braves. We talked to Hugh Douglas, and it was funny because Mike and I were saying it's too late if you wanted to try to, you know, go at one of these guys. You got to win games. Let's try to win games and cut this lead and maybe get some momentum of our own rather than worrying about, hey, how we got punked out, or at least in our opinion, up there in right. Philly. We'll talk about it coming up. Also, you'll hear Bryant McFadden discuss the cornerback position and why guys are not getting signed, including why the Falcons may not be interested in one of these veteran guys. It's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Kell back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week, and man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need. Season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.